At Portland Nursery, we're passionate about sharing gardening knowledge. We love teaching people how to grow fruits and vegetables or how to plant a tree. We've passed down gardening through the generations, and as a family-owned and operated business, we value all those delicious, sun-kissed lessons learned in the garden. We're excited to help you create some cherished moments of your own. Come visit us today to embark on your next gardening adventure. Portland Nursery, a passion for plants at 50th and Stark, 90th and Division.
Hey, Kata, thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, as mentioned earlier. Let's see how it turns out. I mean, especially like you don't know anything about me. Maybe it's not that interesting.
What do you mean? You are a digital nomad from Hungary that you live in Portugal. So come on.
I could have been doing the same job for the past 20 years.
Oh, that's cool. We want to hear that too. What we're really interested in hearing from you about is kind of, first of all, like your story and your experience, but really kind of about how location and geography play into your work and more specifically, your work-life balance, right? Because breaking patterns, like I sent to you in the Sunday feed, a lot of it is kind of talking around the subjects of remote work, especially if you're like coming from a different career or you're self-taught or you just have like a different non-traditional way of doing things. Like you're not punching into the factory, going home every day to like a wife and 2.5 kids, right? So really like you just existing is very interesting to us, right? For this podcast.
So we're just very interested in hearing about your story as well. And just, we love hearing about unique career journeys and just the fact that you are a digital nomad. It's already unique. Even though it's become more popular now, it is very unique to hear because I'm sure you have experienced a lot of cool things. So yeah, we just love hearing stories. So that's why we're here.
You're listening to Breaking Patterns, a podcast where we talk about the times when life isn't linear, hear stories from people on non-traditional career journeys, and together explore the many ways of accomplishing our goals. Kata, let's start maybe now a little bit back to the beginning. Can you tell us a little about yourself? What do you do? We met in a very interesting co-working, co-living place in the mountains of Galicia and Portugal. But for those at home listening to this conversation, tell us a little about yourself if you could.
Well, so I am Hungarian originally. I mean, I was born in Hungary and I am still Hungarian. And actually, I'm kind of a late bloomer. That's what my digital nomad friends are telling me, because I was already graduating from university. I was 24 when Hungary joined the EU. So until then, for us, travel was not that accessible. Oh, and yes, when I was born, we were still under Russia's rule. So I was born in communism. And so, yeah, I can say that I came a long way from. So my parents weren't even allowed to have a passport. And now I'm a digital nomad. So.
Wow, that's quite the generational change.
So I studied in university. I studied tourism and hotel management. I have an economic degree. And at 14 years old, I had this dream that I'm going to be a hotel manager somewhere at a warm beach site, probably Spain.
At 14 years old already?
Yes, because I went to like a bilingual, like tourism-specific high school. I just knew that I didn't know yet what I want to do, but I knew that I don't want to just go to like a normal high school because I don't know. I wanted to get something extra out of high school as I was bored at school most of the times. Like even in primary school, I was always like reading under the desk and because the classes were just boring me. So I thought that it's going to be cool that high school is bilingual and I'm going to study some vocation as well. So just to spike things up. Yeah, I get bored very easily. So I was then started to study English at 14 in school. And then from already, I think second grade, we were already like starting to study some vocational subjects as well. and then in later in English from third grade, yes. And so when I graduated, it was 5 years high school because of, and I had to do all my exams in English. And then gave me the license to be a tour guide and also like, yes, already like some vocation on tourism and management. But then I, of course, I didn't want to start working at 19. Although I went to, with my sister, I went to the island of Corfu in Greece. And for one summer, we were, she was a tour guide and I was working in a travel agency as a summer job. So that was fun. It was just 3 months.
I'm sure that was really profound. Was that your first big kind of travel, like abroad? Was that the first experience that you had kind of long term?
Yes. And imagine we didn't have smartphones then. Sometimes I still think back. I just rented this scooter and I had the map. And then when I got lost in the middle of the island and I was like, oh, I should really look for like a petrol station to get gas. And I was just pretty much hoping to run into a petrol station because I couldn't just, you know, grab my phone and, okay, look up where is the nearest petrol station. It was crazy. And also you just stopped and talked to people. It really had the charm to it, of course. And I'm not saying like technology didn't better our lives, but sometimes it was just,
yeah, kind of that serendipitous spontaneity that happens when, especially when you're traveling, when you're out of your routine, that kind of like the magic of life happens a little bit. I think that's kind of what you're saying. Like maybe it was a little.
And then, yes, when you are connecting to people and sometimes our smartphones kind of block us from connecting to people because we can look up everything, right? Google is your best friend, no?
I haven't lived in a society without smartphones, but I do think that they do, like I have to say, like block us and like reduce like the probability of us being surprised by things. Because if you're going to a place, you just look for the reviews, for example, of the place. If you're going to meet someone and you know their name, you look them up on Instagram or on their social media. So we are not, now I think we are less surprised by people, by things, because we just have so much information at the tip of our hand. So
I also think there is something that kind of augments that to make it more, that makes it a little stronger, especially as we are all more or less immigrants in, you know, away from our home countries. And I think that when you've kind of gotten out of your hometown or your culture, your home culture, that life kind of presents these opportunities that are really, really nice. And probably the having a smartphone takes away from that a little bit of that magic. Obviously, there's a lot of great things when you're traveling and using smartphones. But I agree with both of you that it does kind of take away that human interaction component a little bit.
Yeah, when, for example, you liked someone when I was a teenager and we didn't have phones, we just went like walking in the city or we went to the place to be, you know, we only had like one club in my hometown and we were like hoping that he will be there, you know, or when we went for like circles with my girlfriends, then, I hope we bump into him, you know, and it was like, you know, it was giving you this exciting because you couldn't stalk anyone digitally, stalking like now in a, not in the bad way that, yeah. And you couldn't like keep in touch and. So it was nice.
That's cool. Kanda, I wanted to ask you about what do you currently do? Like, I know part of being a digital nomad, correct me if I'm wrong, like, there's no official definition, but I believe that being an entrepreneur, it's part, big part of being a digital nomad. So could you tell us a little bit about what do you currently do as a digital nomad?
Yes. So I have a very recent change. In August, I started to work for a remote first company. So the company doesn't have an office at all. And almost everyone like is in a different country. The company is called Island Innovation. And it's a media agency first, but also like a platform for island communities to connect on sustainability issues. It does a lot of things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kata, how did you, what is your background after you graduated? I think you said it was a vocational high school with a tourism component. How did you start transitioning? What was those years like between then and now? Was it kind of a linear path? It sounds like, well, I imagine there was probably a lot of twists and turns, but I was wondering if you could share anything between then and now.
Of course. So I'm trying to recap it very shortly, which will be difficult.
No problem. We have all the time in the world.
And then you can ask me questions. So after high school, I went to university and kept studying tourism and hotel management. And logically, my first job was in a hotel in Budapest, in Hungary's capital. It was a 4-star hotel. I was in reception. But very early on, I realized that I'm kind of over-romanticized the hotel industry. And as I was working in shifts, you know, like on reception, you work in different shifts, you work on holidays. You need to speak several languages and you need to have like people skills to deal with the guests. And compared to that, it's quite underpaid that you need to have the physical, the flexibility. And all my friends were working in offices, so it was hard like to do something together because when they had a weekend, I was working in the weekend. So, I mean, I was very young. This was in my early 20s. So then I was like easily attracted to the glamour of corporate life, which now, yes. Yes, because it's just like, oh, they give you a desk, they give you a laptop. It's your own place. Yeah, now it sounds very ridiculous.
It sounds funny, but I think at the time, I can sense this. This was like 20 years ago, you know, like early 2000s, right? I can totally see this this vision a little bit of younger Kata.
Yes. Oh, and because like they started to establish these SSCs. Oh, what is that stands for? I can't remember now. Shared service centers for big corporates in Hungary. So centralize a lot of functions of multinational companies in one place in Hungary, which is now migrated to more to India and the Philippines. But that was like the era when they started to do that, Hungary, like the offices there and create a lot of work opportunities. And how it started, because they just started to migrate all the job functions to Hungary. So they sent these people to different countries to learn the work there and then take back the knowledge to Hungary and then work from there. So even that sounded like glamorous for me that, oh, they just like, they send me to my friends were sent to Italy and I want to spend 3 months in Italy paid by the company. So that's why like I switched and I started to work in customer service, business administration at a big corporate. I don't want to say the name. And I was sent to Manchester, actually, in the UK.
Oh, really?
Which wasn't as glamorous as...
No, not at all. Nothing to... not to knock Manchester, but it's a little different than Italy. Yes, you're right.
Yes, because I was visiting my friends in Rome, and then I was sent to Manchester. No hard feelings. I was still very happy because I can be very enthusiastic at the beginning of a new... Like, it was... Everything was new. The career, how do we work? So I didn't have an office work before, so it was all new for me. So I was fine with Manchester. We could go like hiking around Lake District and it was like cool because everybody started together. So even my colleagues, it felt like a nice community.
Oh, okay. So after Corfu, this was your first kind of assignment outside of Hungary, right? Professionally. And you
yes,
also,
yeah.
you
and
also
Corfu was just a summer job.
Uh-huh. And you had, it sounds like you had a little bit of a community to help you through that. Was everyone from Hungary at the time? And it was kind of, everyone was sent in a program? Yes. Did that make it a little easier to kind of...
It was like a cohort. Yes.
Got it.
That it's not that when you start the new job and you are the old one out, who is just, you just started and everybody already knows everything. We all started together. So it was a nice feeling, yes.
Patrick, how many years did you, or how much time did you spend in Manchester?
3 months, yes. And the
3 months.
And the company, yes, and the company rented us apartments, like, separately. So I had my own apartment. And also that was like an upgrade, that, because before that I was sharing, like, during university and even after university as well. And I was like, oh my God, I want this lifestyle. I want to live on my own. Oh my God, now I'm just laughing at 24-year-old Kata.
Yeah, but so 24-year-old Kata really understood at that time, like, this is the life for you, right? Like, that's the sensation that you felt?
But it was more that it was better paid than the hotel job, and yes, and that I spent 3 months in a very nice apartment. It was like a 4-star apart hotel where they booked us apartments. So, yeah. It was super nice. So when I moved back to Hungary, it was after the 3 months assignment. It was going okay for a while, but then I wanted some change. So I decided to move to London, as that was also on my bucket list. I decided with a friend when we were kids that one day we are going to leave London. I think, like, for us, like, London was the only metropolis that we knew. So it sounded glamorous. So I quit my job and I just moved with a suitcase to London.
Wow. And you had no you had no idea or kind of any expectation of what you were going to find professionally waiting for you in London? Like, there was no plan.
I had a friend who was already working there in a hostel. And so I just wanted to move abroad and give it a shot.
Wow, that's very brave for for young Kata. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really brave. And what did you do in London?
Oh, I just wanted to say that actually, what is, I think, pretty unconventional in my career path, in my work life, that I think almost all the times I quit my job without having another one. Like, I always just, like, felt like, okay, this chapter is over for me, and I didn't want to stress. Of course, I tried to look for another one, but no, I cannot focus on the next step until I have this burden on me. And so I usually just quit my job and then took the next step on.
Mauro, I know you have a question after this, but that's so interesting that you say that. Do you feel, it sounds like that means that you know, if you're tired of that particular line of work, that you leave it and then you kind of pivot to something, doing something different, where the one job does not automatically kind of lead on a linear path to another job, like a promotion or a better paid work. You're kind of like moving and turning, professionally speaking, right?
Yes. And I do not recommend this to anyone. It's really hard. There is a right way to do it, they say, which I tried, that to try to move horizontally, like a switch company, but still like a similar job where there is more possibility to change the department, the line of work, if you can't do that in your own company. Or, of course, like, first you should try within your company, like, talk to your manager or the other department managers to, let's say, I want to switch my career, and if there would be a possibility. That's how the internet, the people of internet say that you should change your career.
Except this podcast. We are drawing a hard line that there is not a right way or a wrong way to do this. Put me on record, please.
But Kata's way.
We always say that, yeah.
Kata's way is just do the mic drop in one place, and then.
I love it. It seems to have worked out for you. And is this what happened with your current line of work right now? You just dropped the mic and got out of there. And I guess the broader question is, when you decide, it sounds like you have a very clear idea of when enough is enough and when you personally and professionally, possibly geographically, need a change and to like a change of pace. But like, how does that feel in the moment? Do you feel good about leaving it and you trust in the universe that something else is going to come your way? Or what is that like for you when you are in transition?
Oh, so many questions.
It wherever you want to go.
So yes, there was a pattern that I realized after a while. I cannot not do anything. So just to go to my workplace, do the normal work and then go home and then cash my paycheck at the end of the month. So I always like need a challenge that I can work on or a purpose. And the pattern was that when I started working, first I got familiar on my work, and then I always made an improvement. So I was really into process improvement. So, okay, but why do they do it? I was always questioning everything, questioning the status quo. Like, I didn't just accept that. I don't like the answer because that's how we do it for years. I really hate that answer. When you can do it better, then let's do it better. And usually I took my positions to the point where I couldn't improve more, either because there was nothing to improve or I bumped into walls. Like I was pushed back on the improvements, especially with the bigger hierarchical companies. So, and that's when usually I changed. So that was the pattern. And of course, I studied a lot of things also. Usually I like to learn and improve myself, but of course, with the aim of changing a career, I studied different things. I studied marketing and PR. I studied to be a coach. I studied service design. Yeah, just to mention a few things.
Yeah, I'm sure that has helped when you're looking for a new opportunity, right? The fact that you have several different skills or knowledge in different areas that you're able to pick one that you feel like doing now, basically that you want to pursue a job in that area now, but also you have a lot more options, right?
Yes, certainly. I think it gives you, it's a skill that now, because I worked in different areas, I understand those areas, so I can make the links way easier in between.
Yeah,
them.
But... yeah, that's true, because I've seen a lot of people online. I also have met people who really want to make a career change, but they don't know where to start or how to do it because they have been doing the same thing for many, many years. So yeah, they don't know how to make a change, like at least a small change. So they feel like they are going to a different direction. But I also like what you said about moving horizontally, because that can be an advice for those type of people who have been doing something like the same thing for many years, but you can just try to go a little outside of your comfort zone, but it's still around the same area. Because yeah, like Jimmy said, we said a lot in this podcast that there is no right way of doing things. And I love hearing your story about doing it differently. Because, yeah, it's just so interesting. There's no right way. There's no right answer. There's just one that works for you. And I think your story, it's really cool.
Yes, because even when you move horizontally, so many things can change. So the company's mission, so what kind of company you work for, the company culture, your colleagues, the work environment. So many things can change that can better your life. But like really changing a career, what helps is being intentional. So with me, sometimes the problem was that I only knew that I don't want to do this anymore, and I didn't know what I want to do next. And that's why I felt the need to take a step away from that job and from that workplace. And, you know, like, so I can have a clearer mind and There is this theory that we are more creative if we get a little bored. So if we don't have anything to do or we are under pressure. So that's why I always felt the need to step away from the work that was like burdening me down, and then I can come up with the next step. But if you know what you want to change for, then I think that's a different podcast. But there are like very good strategies how to switch career if you know what you want to do next.
We might have to have you on for that episode as well. You were talking about how the team, the company culture, kind of the responsibilities, if you can improve the processes in your own position, and you might get bored, or, you know, you also said that you tend to leave your positions before you found something else. I was curious, you talked a lot about kind of those, the details or the specifics of those jobs. How has your personal life and your non-work life, and possibly, you know, like where you are in the world, your geography, how have those influenced the career changes that you've had in your life?
Okay, interesting question. So actually, I would start with, yeah, it's very important your geographic location, because as they say, your network is your net worth. So some of my jobs I got through people I know, because I heard about it. No, not necessarily they recommend it, but to be in the know, as many jobs, as you might be aware, are not even advertised ever. And so it's important that you know a lot of people. But actually, when I moved to Madrid, that blocked my career change, as I did not speak any Spanish. And it was very hard for me to look for a job. So I had to rely on my previous experience in London. So I could only look for a similar job, which in the beginning I didn't want to do, but I did the sacrifice for, okay, I'm going to establish a new life here. I'm going to learn Spanish, and then I can do the switch again. So in that sense, it's blocked me, because I didn't know anyone. I didn't know the language. So I was really forced into the same kind of work.
Yeah, interesting. You have this interest that you said, the importance of networking, yet you are a digital nomad. So obviously it worked out for the net positive when you did that transition to Madrid. Like, you're continuing to do that still.
Yeah, but back then I wasn't a digital nomad yet. I'm only nomading the past 3 years. So when I moved to Madrid, it was another kata. So it was a totally different lifestyle. So I wanted to give a positive example for how your geographical location influences your work or life, or life choices, or your personal life. So when I first heard about digital nomads, I don't even remember, but it was way before I started nomad. I mean, a few years before I started my own journey. And I was just reading about it. Then I went to meetups and presentations from other nomads about their travels. And I only had the feeling that, oh, this is so cool. That's what I want to do. Because I think I always feel the urge to travel, and I didn't want to be tied down to one place. So at the end, how I became a digital nomad, that I did the mic drop again, and I left everything behind. And I thought, what is the best way? Just like fake it till you make it. I get on the Nomad Cruise. I don't know if you ever heard about it. It's a cruise ship that takes you from, I mean, on that cruise that I got on, it took me from Barcelona to Brazil. It was 13 days. 300 digital nomads on board, and every day workshops and meetups on digital nomad skills, entrepreneurship, and all different things. And I mean, what's the best way? Like, if I'm going to have 299 digital nomads around me, I mean, of course, not all of them were nomads, but because there were some wannabe nomads as me as well. But I mean, even
yeah,
even 200, like, it's 200 more than who I know now. So maybe this is the best way to get into the network.
I think that's amazing because so many people rely on the internet to learn about the lifestyle of a digital nomad. I see a lot of forum posts, you know, asking about specific skills to acquire to get some type of remote work. But it's really interesting because I think you've mentioned it a couple times, networking and community are huge. And it sounds like that was a big bridge for you to move into what you're doing now.
Absolutely. That's what I would recommend to everyone, that not just learn in a school or online, but yes, go to some professional events or meetups to get into the network, to get into the community of that profession, because that's how you can learn even more about the work. And that's how you can get acquainted with people who are already working in the field. You can interview them, what they like about their job, because maybe you are like me that I sometimes see things shinier than they are. So you can learn about the ups and downs of that kind of job. And yeah, I think that's the best way. And that's what happened to me. Then I was there with a bunch of nomads, and it was really a good way of like start traveling as well, as you had the community right away. And even though from Brazil, everybody started to like travel into different directions, there were these hubs where people were going to, and also they set up then chat groups. So I always felt the support because I was really a baby traveler. So I don't think on my own I would have ever went to South America traveling. But as I felt this support that I can reach out, I dared to do the step. And it happened to me in Rio de Janeiro that I got sick, I had fever, I was in a hostel, and then I just wrote the group that, hey guys, does anybody have a room to rent, that I don't want to be on my own in a hostel. And yes, somebody offered the room and I made new friends. And at the end, that's how I got my first remote job, a remote gig. It wasn't a job yet. Yes, through a now very good friend that in her network, somebody was looking for an operations manager to set up a new media agency. And yes, I sent my CV because she recommended me. She gave the recommendation and they interviewed me and I got the opportunity. And that was my first ever remote gig.
That's so cool. Ketha, I'm curious to know how many countries you have visited working remotely or as a digital nomad.
I don't know that number, and not that many as maybe other digital nomads, because I started nomading in 2019. This cruise left Spain in 2019, November. And if you guys still remember that thing, it's called COVID. That happened in 2020, March, when I was in Colombia and I made a very good choice to come back to Europe because nobody knew back then that what's going to be happen. Things were very uncertain. So then I flew back to be with my family in Hungary. And after that, like, okay, I saw that the world didn't collapse. And I left Hungary again in August, the same year, 2020, I came to Lisbon. And so it really slowed down my traveling. Like Asia was closed up even until now. This is the first winter that nomads can go back to Asia. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make a calculation now because it would be slow, but like 10 countries since I'm a nomad, I should count around 10.
Which one has been your favorite? I'm really curious about that. Especially
loved Colombia.
Being a digital nomad, like the one... Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
Yes, yes. It was so beautiful, like nature-wise. It had the Caribbean coast. It has the Amazonas, like rainforest. Then it has the Pacific coast. It's very varied. And also the fruit selection, like fresh fruit. Like mango is my favorite, and they're on the street, you know, you can just buy from the street vendor the peeled, chopped up mango, and I was eating it all days. I'm like, and chirimoya, and yeah, so many other
things. Too much. Mara's from Venezuela, so she knows.
Oh, really? I didn't go to Venezuela, but yeah, I was right next at the border. And I went on one of my best hikes in Colombia. It was so beautiful.
That's really cool. I also have this question that I wanted to ask you as you were saying how many countries you have visited and all the changes you have made. And it's regarding taking vacation or taking days off. Like how often do you do it? And how does that work as you are constantly moving and changing your location?
I think it depends on whether you are an entrepreneur, so you're doing your own business, or you are an employee. And I suggest everyone for your mental health to take holidays, which I'm doing very rarely.
Yeah, I think this is a really good question. Maru and I talked about the importance of work-life balance in a previous episode. And we have found working a job that's location independent is, and this kind of being our first time doing this, we've been working remotely for about, I think, Maru, about a year for you, I believe, a little more for me. And we have also struggled with the work-life balance either in one direction or the other. And I think it's really fascinating because when sometimes I'm a little more nomadic in a van around Spain, and I find myself really struggling to make sure that I'm doing everything that a normal, you know, worker would throughout their workday. And then also balancing, you know, like the fun stuff or getting out and being whimsical and being spontaneous in a new place that I don't find myself needing as much when I'm just at home in a particular location. I don't know if you have any experiences with that, kind of like the FOMO, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. So because I'm on the move, I'm visiting new places. So I have a lot of stimulus in my life, like more than if I'm in one place and going to the same office every day. I don't feel that much the need for a holiday, but also because I was really like changing professionally as well. So I was, with every change, I was aiming for to better my professional life in the sense of that I enjoy what I'm doing. I really don't want to just work for being paid. So it was pretty much parallel. And both, of course, helped with being location independent or nomad, and both changing careers helped me to have a better work-life balance. Of course, it still happens that I need some holiday, but because sometimes I just take too much on myself. As I did work for a startup, I did have my own company as well. I did project works, sometimes juggling several things at the same time. So it can be tiring. And sometimes I think everybody needs certain periods when you are not on your laptop. And I'm saying laptop because whoever is a digital nomad, they all need a laptop to work with.
Yeah, right. We've talked a little about kind of the difference, not the difference, but what it means having a non-traditional career and one that needs a computer, I guess, right? The tech.
I would like to spend more time away from my laptop. So I would like to pick up some hobby or even type of work that would allow me to work away from my laptop. But I didn't figure out yet how I can do it and still traveling, because I think I'm attached too much to the lifestyle to give up that. Yet, maybe when I find my home base and settle a little bit down, then I'll come up with some bit. However, saying that and now a bit contradicting myself, in my current work, one of my tasks is, one of my responsibilities, I'm going to be responsible for the physical events at the company, which is a new service line for them. So far, they were only doing virtual events. So next year they want to organize their first in-person conference, and I'm in charge of that. Like currently I'm scouting for location, and then I will be there on site. So I think that's pretty much coming together as well.
Yeah, that like a nice
very
balance.
Very happy where I am now, yes.
That's
yes.
great. And Katha, if you could just go into a little more detail about how many hours would you say you work a day, you know, like on your computer? This is kind of an interesting topic right now because I've changed my schedule a little bit to bring my personal work-life balance into better balance, I guess. I don't know. But I was curious because you mentioned your desire to find interests or work outside of the computer. And I'm curious about, like, do you work a lot? Do you work the average amount?
You are asking me at the first time because I really started this new position hardly a month ago. So now it's so much to learn. And I'm especially excited because my new work is in the sustainability field. So it's again, like I changed industry as well. And I have so much to learn, which I enjoy very much. So sometimes I don't even realize that I was all day in front of the computer. So now at the moment I work a lot. Ask me in 6 months. But there were different phases. There were different phases in the past 5 years, I would say, or since I'm nomadic, since I quit my last office job, which let me remember, it was 2016, September 1st. Yes. Since then, I'm not going to one office 8 hours a day. So, and I only started nomading in 2019. So I would say, yeah, the last 6 years, I was a freelancer or part-time employed and a mix of everything else. So the workload was varying. Sometimes when last year I spent 3 months in the beautiful island of Madeira, I need to mention, and I really love hiking. So I usually took Friday off so I could do 2 big hikes over the weekend.
Oh, that's great. That's a really interesting strategy because I know that 4-day work weeks are becoming more common in office spaces as well. And I imagine that is one of when somebody wants to change their schedule or reduce their hours to accommodate more activities, probably Friday is a big, like, requested kind of day off. And so that's really nice. That's great.
I really want to add that since I quit the traditional office life, I feel that I have a better work-life balance. Although sometimes, like, I work a lot, but that's more intentional. So when I take on some projects that, okay, I know that this is for just a short period and then I'm over it. And also, yeah, since then, like, I'm not dreading Mondays that much. So
yeah, true.
I feel way better since I left the traditional, I don't want to say 9-to-5 because pretty much now I work between 9-to-5 if I work full time. I think, I mean, that's what makes sense. But the traditional, like going to the office and sitting at one desk, that's already the past, unfortunately.
Right. Well, and you have the freedom to be in Madeira if you want, or be in Lisbon, or be in Hungary, or be in Manchester.
And I also love like visiting co-working places because they can be very inspiring and meet different people. And it's so cool that, yes, you have your little desk, but then there are other people who work for other companies and then you can grab a coffee with them or lunch. So you are not alone working home alone. If lots of people have the fear of that if I would be a freelancer or a remote worker, then I would be very lonely. So you can really then go to a co-working office, which solves this problem.
That was actually my last question, comment. We met at a very interesting co-working, co-living space in Galicia here. And I wanted to kind of ask, how important are those for you? And I guess wrapping up here, we really like to give people who might be listening some actionable items, you know, and I was thinking, you know, if you're doubting yourself, if you're interested in remote work or being a digital nomad, but you're a little maybe hesitant or kind of nervous about having a social circle and community. Well, first, you know, nomading, really lends itself to meeting other people, it sounds like, in your experience. But there's also many opportunities like co-working, co-living, or online communities to kind of get involved away from work, but also with people who are kind of doing the same thing as you are. You know, we don't do the same work at all, but we hung out, we had breakfast together, we cooked dinners together, and it was really, it brings into balance this unique way of working that we all have, that we all share right now.
Sandem was my first co-living experience. So yes, it was different. I think as you said, you are suggesting it could be a start to go to a co-living and you already get to know people instantly. I didn't feel the need for long because I did the cruise and that way I got into the community and then already made nomad friends. So then I went to the places where I knew that there are nomads. So I had the feel of community that there were always some meetups and I can go there and not to feel alone.
And sorry, one last question. When you get to a new place, say somebody bought you a ticket to Madagascar, how would you go about, what would you do? What's the typical process like about going to a new location, specifically one that you might not know before, that you don't have any sort of defined community yet?
I would definitely like look for Facebook groups on digital nomads or expats living there, meetups, and also just do what you usually do, your hobbies. So in Las Palmas last year, I met people through acro yoga and bachata dancing and hiking. So just then, look up some activity that you like doing. Me, I like hiking. And then I didn't go on my own, but I looked up a hiking group. So I went with other people and then that's how I met people. And that's what I'm usually doing, like social meetups and activities related to my hobby. And also asking your network that, hey, do you know someone in this city? And maybe, you know, a friend connects you with a friend and then you already have someone to meet with.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much for that reminder because I was telling Jimmy that since I recently moved here, I've been having a hard time like getting to know people, new people, because I work from home and I also am not fluent in the language. So I struggle with that. But that it seems like a very basic thing to do. But sometimes we forget that if you want to meet people that you're most likely going to like, you should be doing it in places that have like the same activities that you enjoy. You're looking for people that like, have common interests, and the way to do it is like you're saying, looking for, you know, like a class or on something that you like doing, or going to a concert of a band that you like or something like that. And that's something that I forget a lot, and it's just like I feel alone. I'm like, where do I start? I don't know where to look. And it's just like it's a very simple thing to start doing, and then you meet someone, and then that someone introduces you to another person, and it's just like you just need to start.
Yeah. So we already mentioned the co-working offices. That's also a good place to work with. But the meetups and these activities are better in the sense that they are usually free. Or you would spend on them anyway, like, you know, yoga or dancing for me. And also you meet already people who are surely interested in the same thing. So you already have like one common topic.
Yeah. This is also a great recommendation for language learning, I think. I try to focus on the topics that I'm interested in and practice Spanish in those topics, whatever that is. If that's, you know, like board games or news or walk, you know, like things about dogs or something like that, right? I think that's a really, really great piece of advice for folks who might be interested in moving around a little more than we do, me and Maru, at least. Katha, do you have any last things that you want to say to the world before we wrap this up?
I don't know, because we haven't even got into the... the way of nomading and nomad life, and I don't know.
We actually did not talk so much about nomading, but really, I mean, I think it's what we really like to hear is like how you think and feel about it, right? There are numerous forum posts about like how to get the best deal on a hotel or a hostel, or you know, where to look, or there's going to be little trucos, like tricks, right? But I really enjoyed hearing your perspective about it, because I'm not somebody who travels around as much as you have, at least working a full-time job. You know, I've been on vacation before, but it's extremely different being on vacation in a new exotic location and then working possibly 9 to 5, possibly less, possibly more in that exotic location, right?
I don't consider myself that savvy on digital nomading or traveling. My main advice would be, or resume, is that I know it's very hard. It seems very hard and impossible to change. But as I already mentioned, then try to change one little things and try to get acquainted with that industry you want to change to. That could be the first step to do. And yes, I encourage everyone, because I'm way happier now, and I'm kind of now, I'm very, very happy about the opportunity I have now with this current company. And I would never got here if I followed the traditional way of building your career.
That's great. Mauro, do you have any last thoughts or questions for Kata?
Not necessarily, but I agree with what you were saying, Jim, that this episode, the idea was more to get to know you and your perspective and your experience, like moving around, being a digital nomad and building your career. So I think that's what's really interesting, because yeah, there are many videos and tutorials and courses on how to be a digital nomad and how to get started. But it's just really interesting to see your journey as someone who just went to college and you tried to go through the traditional route, but you realized that it wasn't for you, and you make the turn to do something that you enjoy more and that you feel that it makes you happy, basically. Those are the types of stories that I really love hearing, because those are really inspiring, because if someone is feeling like that and they think that being a digital nomad could be a route for them that could be beneficial, then they can start looking about like how to get started on that work. But I like that we're looking to give people that inspiration to give that first step. And that first step could be being a digital nomad or making a career change or whatever that it is that it works for them.
Or buying a plane ticket to Medellin, Colombia,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like it can be as something something small in quotations,
small,
right?
Yeah, quotations.
I don't want to encourage anyone to do that and, you know, just to end up in some bad situation.
Yes. A better piece of advice or recommendation would be go wherever you want.
If you want to change a career, definitely talk to people who are already doing that, so you can find more about it, how they get into that career, and really about learning more if it would be the right fit for you. I did several things in my life, and some I found out sooner, some later, that, okay, this is not for me. So I encourage you to do that, to engage with people in that field so you can learn more about in-depth before you change.
That's great. Well, Kata, thank you so much for coming on Breaking Patterns.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's it for now. You can subscribe to this podcast feed so you won't miss a new episode of Breaking Patterns. Catch you all later.